I wanted to feel joy again because I was so depressed and so low, and the addiction was just like pounding at the door and just getting worse and worse. And I was just like, if I don't do something about this, I'm going to go down the wrong path. My future husband was like, we need to stop this. Like, we can't be together. And I remember being like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. I was livid. Oh, I'm like, who is this boy that decided to like spend every waking second with me for a week, and then all of a sudden he doesn't want to hang out with me anymore?
Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. I'm your host, Devin, and I'm joined today with my very good friend, Mal Reyes.
Hello.
This is so exciting.
I'm really excited. Also equally as nervous, but I know. That's okay.
I told her I was so nervous this is her first ever podcast episode, and I feel very honored that you're here to talk.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. All the way from California. So a little backstory of mine and Mal's friendship. It was basically over 2 years ago now.
Oh my gosh.
Whenever we met on social media. So Hunter and I kind of were on TikTok. We followed Cam and Mal. Her husband is Cameron. So they're known as Cam and Mal. Y'all should look them up. They're so cute. And I just loved them. I was like, oh, they're so sweet. And I saw that y'all are Christian and I followed them. And so when y'all followed us back, I was like, oh, wait, another TikTok couple followed us. Y'all were our first social media friends on there.
You were our first too.
That's so wild.
It's so crazy to see like how far we've both come since it, and like how our relationship has evolved too. Mm-hmm. Like, so wild what social media brings. Like,
isn't it?
We never would have been friends.
No. I mean, we live across the country.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And I say that all the time. Anytime something happens, I'm like, that's so wild. But we ended up meeting shortly after we became friends in LA. And Ivy was, I think, not even a year old. We went to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And we just had so much fun.
Yeah. We clicked instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all didn't have a kid. And now flash forward however many years. And y'all have a 9-month-old.
And she's now Ivy's age when we first met you guys. And now Ivy is like walking, talking to Addie. Like,
wow.
Crazy.
The things that we truly don't know what our future holds.
Yeah.
But God does. And so I'm excited to talk about Jesus today. And I just pray that whoever's listening, if it's just one person or whatever, that y'all just can be encouraged by Mal's testimony. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants to speak is we're letting it roll off today. So Mal, I obviously have talked so many times with y'all about like your testimony and coming to know Jesus. And it's such a beautiful story because I feel like in a way stories are a little similar in the sense of it took somebody else, like a relationship to help.
Yeah.
And I'm meaning me and Hunter, how when we dated in high school, we ended up having to know we wanted to be together, God had to be there. And so I'm just curious. Mm. So I'm going to pretend I don't know anything.
Right.
And so listeners can hear.
Right.
How did you know Jesus? Or what was your upbringing like? And
yeah. So we'll my upbringing, I was like the typical like cultural Christian. Like we would pray at the dinner table and like, oh, like be a good person, like treat people the way you want to be treated. Like we had like the moral aspect of it, but we never talked about Jesus. But we would pray, but like, who are we praying to? It was just like really confusing growing up. And just like had very limited knowledge in what Christianity actually was and the story of Jesus and the gospel.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't until like really high school when I actually got into a relationship with a Christian.
Oh, really?
I did. And it was a long relationship. It was like 3 years. Mm-hmm. And just being around his family, they like taught me so much. And so that was like my initial true introduction to Christianity.
Up until like. Then, did you like say, if people asked, were you like, yeah, I'm a Christian?
Yeah. I did, but I wasn't. I totally wasn't. Yeah.
Was it confusing to you? Like, you're like, why am I saying this? And I don't really know what that entails.
It was. See, I had no idea the concept of like accepting Jesus into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is the pivotal moment, obviously, is like when you accept Christ, then
you're really a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. At that point, like, there's no going back. I didn't know that. And so I just was like, yeah, I'm a Christian because I say so.
Because you say so. Yeah, no, I mean, that is such a worldly viewpoint yeah. on how to be a Christian.
Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, well, it sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to heaven. So yeah, I'm a Christian.
Okay. This just popped in my head. Do you feel like it was almost a scare tactic in a way of why you said you were, because you didn't want to go to hell? It's like opposite of heaven is hell.
Oh my gosh.
You don't go to heaven, you go to hell.
I, as a kid, and I still think about this and I just like get so emotional. As a kid, I was terrified of death. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be up at night like an 8-year-old kid, that I just had this longing that I couldn't pinpoint. Obviously, mm-hmm. no one was leading me. But I remember being so terrified of going to sleep, thinking my mind was racing about, like, if I die, where do I go? Is it just black? And then I would just spiral.
Yes, I had so many spiraling moments like
oh
that.
Oh my gosh, it was paralyzing. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was awful. And that would happen periodically. And I just kept shutting it out. Like, I don't want to think like that because it scares me. It gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And that started at such an early age.
Do you feel like you know where that came from, like stemmed from?
Oh, God. Now I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like it was just like from such an early age, he was just like pulling me in ways that I, in hindsight, can look back and see. Whoa. But you know, as a kid, I didn't know any better. I just knew that was terrifying. And the older I got, I hear about Christianity. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. But mm-hmm. I didn't know
yeah.
what it meant. I had no personal relationship with Jesus.
Okay.
It was just purely like, I want to be a Christian. Right. So I am. Therefore, I am.
Yeah. So then you met this boyfriend that y'all dated for 3 years. He was a Christian.
Yeah.
Was that when you... I mean, at that point, you still never asked Jesus into your heart.
So, funny enough, I did.
Okay.
But I don't count that one, I don't think.
Okay.
Because, I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. But I remember, like, texting him being like, yeah, like, it all sounds so great. Like, I want that. Mm-hmm. And I remember he, like, texted me a prayer because we were not with each other. Yeah. He was texting me a prayer to pray, but I was just still like, it was not, there was no connection. Nothing happened after that. Mm-hmm. There was no progression. I didn't go to church. Mm-hmm. It was really just like, well, I'm dating this guy. He's a Christian, so I might as well do it.
Yeah.
But again, no personal relationship with Jesus. I prayed that prayer, but it felt like no one was listening and it was just empty. And I think it was because my heart was still just hardened to the idea of it. I just didn't understand, and it was not my time yet. Mm-hmm. And I think I needed to have that sense of desperation for him, and not just like a wishy-washy, like, oh, I decide today, sure. And then the next day, I don't really feel it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Does that, I mean, and looking back, do you feel like those were like seeds planted though?
Oh, yeah. Big time. And again, like I mentioned earlier, his family was just so sweet to me. And mm-hmm. They knew I wasn't. And they were just so kind. And I remember we would go on family trips with them and they would take me to church. And I remember just soaking it in. Mm-hmm. But it was years of that progression. And they would take me along with them. And I was just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And just being around them, you learn slowly of who Jesus's character is more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But again, no personal relationship. When I would leave them and go back to my own house, there was nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The transition from that period to college. That's when it happens.
Really, give us all the tea.
Tell us.
Okay. This is where the tea starts. That was just a little
intro.
Yeah. So actually, we had a really terrible breakup. He cheated on me when he went to college, and that just completely wrecked me. I was always like a goody two shoes,
mm-hmm.
and that like sent me into a spiral.
Really?
Oh yeah. And I just, oh my gosh, got into drinking, underage drinking. I got into smoking, and I got addicted.
Really? Like the cigarettes or
marijuana?
Okay.
Yeah. I got addicted mm-hmm. and I just, oh my gosh, every single day I couldn't go without it, and I was hiding it from my parents, and that's just not like me. And I just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into this addiction and into the wrong crowds. And I just was like, how did I get to this point? Because, you know, growing up, like, you still have that like moral compass, I like to say. And so even though I wasn't Christian, I still wanted to be a good person and wanted to like treat myself well. And, you know, I knew that those things were wrong and addiction was like taking over me. And I knew that, but I couldn't do anything about it. And I didn't have the strength to do anything about it. And then it flipped to I didn't want to do anything about it.
Okay.
And so it just got deeper and deeper. And it wasn't until I decided to, quit when I left for college. So I actually moved away to go to college. And when I moved away, I decided to leave all of my supplies at home. And I was just like, this is it. Like, I'm going. And I actually told myself when I left, I'm going to find a Christian community and I'm going to do this for myself because I was so tired of this in-between and not knowing. And because you have to know.
Yeah.
You have to know who Jesus is to understand what you believe. And so that was a turning point for me. I left everything at home and I just quit cold turkey.
Oh my gosh,
and decided like that was it. That was when I was going to figure it out for myself. I wanted that personal relationship with him.
What made you in that moment like think that you needed Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it all the seeds that were planted all along to be like, well, I'm feeling this way and I've heard that Jesus promises this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what made you want to seek him in that versus holding like a grudge against him, you know?
Right. And for a while I did hold a grudge. But I think again, it was just that level of desperation of I am not getting fulfilled by relationships, which I thought would fulfill me, right? I'm not getting filled by partying or by consuming all of the things. I just got to a point where I was at my lowest, and I was just like, I see the joy that Jesus brings to people. You can see it.
You literally
can. You can. Mm-hmm. And it's so evident when you meet believers, and I just wanted that. I wanted to feel joy again because I was so depressed and so low. And the addiction was just like pounding, pounding, pounding at the door and just getting worse and worse. And I was just like, if I don't do something about this, I'm going to go down the wrong path, especially going to college, especially when you have a new sense of freedom, right? When you're out of your parents' house and you get to do whatever you want. And I just knew that if I didn't take that step and reach out to Jesus, that I wouldn't. And so I just had to.
That gave me chills. Like when you were saying that you were in such a desperate place, you knew of Jesus and everything, but that you could see it on other people. And you just like, you were so desperate for to be fulfilled, but you had already tried everything else. So it's like, okay, so Jesus, I'm going to give you a shot. At this, leaving where we left off, and then you decided you're going off to college. And let's talk about that.
Yeah, so went off to college, and there was this college ministry that I had heard of from my actual past boyfriend, which is so funny.
Them seeds. He broke your heart, but he planted some seeds.
He did.
Huh?
He sure did. And yeah, it was called Crew, and it's like a worldwide ministry, and they're very big in college campuses, very active. And I knew that San Jose State had Crew. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. This is the best way to do it, is just meet his people and let them help me. And I just remember it took me a bit. I went to their very first meeting and then didn't have the guts to go back.
Oh, no way. How did the first meeting go? Did you feel like they were welcoming?
Oh my gosh, they were so welcoming.
Yeah.
It wasn't them, it was me.
Uh-huh.
Because again, I was just so, like, I wasn't giving him my all.
Mm-hmm.
I was still hesitant, I was still nervous. And I still was holding on to what I wanted.
Mm.
And so being in college and meeting all these new people, I was still getting pulled in the wrong direction. And I was like, dang, I shouldn't have left my stuff at home. I just want to party. I just want to, like, you know, enjoy the college experience and all these things. And he really pulled me out because 2 months later into college, my afternoon class got canceled and they have their weekly meetings in the afternoons. And so my afternoon class got canceled. And from there, I was in my room praying and I was just like, God, please, like, give me a group of people that will help me because I am so weak on my own. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the
stamina, willpower.
Yeah, I don't have the willpower to continue with this. I need help because I can't do it on my own. And he just, like, that was just like, okay, you have a meeting to go to. Mm-hmm. And I completely forgot about it. But because my class was canceled, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. And so I remember texting these people that I went with on my first meeting, like, can you please go with me? I'm so nervous. No one replied. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go alone, which that is so intimidating.
Was this the crew meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was so intimidated and I just got up and walked and went to the meeting. And guess who was freaking there?
Cam. Chills. That is so, wow.
Yeah, he was. And I had heard of him before.
No way.
We had talked in passing. He had already introduced himself to me randomly. But I had no idea he was a Christian.
Okay.
And I went and he was in charge of delegating rides to get to the meeting. And so I was like, Cam? Like, what? Little did we know he was going to be my husband.
Had y'all already had phone numbers at that point or anything?
No.
It was just like y'all had met in passing.
Yeah, just met in passing. And when I tell you, Cam is single-handedly the one that brought me out physically. I mean, Jesus obviously brought me out of the darkness, but Cam was the practical one that orchestrated that. And he introduced me immediately to all of these women and people that he knew I would get along with personality-wise just immediately.
That day?
That day.
When you got there? Okay.
That day. And I never looked back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That gives me chills. And so sweet. And because I've heard y'all's story so many times, but the added detail really helps. Yeah. So I'm like, wait. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So how did that go? Like you said, immediately, it changed your life.
It did.
And then was it a process or was it like you felt this newness, but like, okay, this is what God has been calling me to and pulling me out of?
Yeah. So it was a process in the sense that I fully accepted Jesus when I fully knew what it meant to accept Jesus. And that's when I say the last time I didn't really count it because I didn't know what it meant. And this time was different and I could sense the Holy Spirit was with me this time. And I just felt so near and dear to him. But it was a process. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to get all the knowledge, all the, you know, background of who he was, what he did for us, the meaning behind that, what it means for me, my purpose now, my new life, and all of those things. It took a bit for me to understand it. But once I did, it was just... Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. And so I kind of do want to talk about you and Cam a little bit in that, because you found Jesus, all of that, and you obviously acknowledged that he was a big part of that.
Yeah.
Did he know? So when did y'all start dating in that season?
So we were actually just friends for a year at least. And
crushes on each other.
Oh yeah,
the crushes.
The crush was instant, and we were actually like attached at the hip for the first week of knowing him, and just hanging out 24/7. He would go sneak into my classes and sit with me just because we didn't want to be apart from each other.
Oh my gosh.
But his mentors were like, "Boy, like she is not ready for a relationship."
Oh,
like,
no way.
Yeah, because I was not a Christian at that point.
Okay.
Remember,
backtrack.
They were like, "This is not the time, respectfully, like not gonna happen." And he was like, "You're so right." Like
good mentorship on his end.
Yeah.
But he was still respectful and didn't like ghost you.
Right.
Like it was
no. But he did have to have a talk with me, and I remember being like, "Are you kidding me?
How did
like,
that you told me about that? Mm-hmm. Do you care if we talk about that?"
Yeah.
Because I know that was like the beginning of y'all's relationship and That's why y'all crushed on each other for so long, because y'all really couldn't be together yet.
Right. Yeah.
Y'all chose not to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically, my future husband was like, had this conversation with me, sit down, and was like, actually, like, we need to stop this. Like, we can't be together. And I know you don't understand, but like, I really need to pursue God. And because he had his whole background, right, in high school and all these things. And when he came to college, he was also like, I need to pursue him and only him for mm-hmm. a bit, because that's what I need. And so he was also like, this is not the time. Like, I'm so sorry, but like, we cannot continue this. And I remember being like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. I was livid.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Like, who is this boy that decided to like spend every waking second with me for a week, and then all of a sudden he doesn't want to hang out with me anymore? That's what I saw. And I was like, I did not get it. I didn't get it. But I remember like feeling this tug of like, I felt so strongly that like God put him in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so what does this mean? Like, what the heck? Because I truly, truly knew immediately, like, God put him in my life mm-hmm. for a reason. I just thought that that was a relationship.
Yeah.
And so when it wasn't, I was like, huh?
Confused.
He put him in my life initially mm-hmm. to lead me to a community of believers that assisted me to get to where I was in my relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He was the stepping stone, right? Yeah. We were not supposed to be in a relationship yet. And eventually, I mean, it did work out. Hey, we did get married. but it took a bit. And yeah, so I just remember being like so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that cause any pullback from church or from your relationship with Jesus? Because you're like, Jesus, why'd you give this to me? But you feels like you're taking it away now.
Yeah. No, it didn't. It actually helped me.
Okay.
Because again, I beforehand was trying to find some fulfillment in relationships in A, B, C, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, uh-uh, you're going to find fulfillment in me and only me, and everything else is going to be an additive. So you better wait, honey.
Yeah. No, I bet what a patient, like trying, how do you word that? My pregnancy brain has just clicked on, like a trying of patience season. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it came easy because you had that your new relationship with Jesus?
It came easy because I had a community of people that surrounded me and truly, truly cared about my relationship with Christ.
I love that.
They really just took me by the hand, and Jesus was through them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus spoke to me through them, because before I really prayed consistently, before I read my Bible and all these things, God spoke to me through them.
I love
that. And that's how I got to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's how I got through it and learned everything that I did was through his body.
Yeah. That is why I'm so thankful that he, for the gift of community.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And like the people, and it's so wild that some of the people that have impacted our lives just through conversation have no idea, just one sentence they spoke like impelled us.
Right.
And be like, whoa, wait. And then clung to that, even like a simple statement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. And so that is why I'm so thankful for community I have and the new community I get and new friendships, and that I don't want to take it for granted because it's so special. And it makes me sad when people are like, I don't have that, but I want that. And I'm like, God will give it to you, you know? But it did, you had to step out in a way.
Yeah.
And say yes and being obedient. And you went to this crew thing, and all those people were there and came introduced you. And then you got this new community. And it's so like all looking back, seeing how your story has like come together. Like how special is that? And like thought out.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. That's
it's just his faithfulness mm-hmm. in my life is what I mean, in all of yours. By the way,
right.
His faithfulness was just so evident
mm-hmm.
and it was just years and years of him bringing me back until I had to fully step out in faith. And just, it was either, actually there was a sermon that I just listened to last week where they were talking about Acts in the early church and whatever. And he said this thing about, like, you need to make up your mind because you're taking too long. You're wishy-washy, you know, doing church on Sundays, but then you do whatever you want during the week. Like, you need to make up your mind. And once you make up your mind,
yeah,
God will use that. And he will work, do a work in you.
I love that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's the hurtful truth,
yeah,
of, I mean, we're not called to be lukewarm. Like, we can't be stagnant. We can't be in the middle. It's, you're either choosing him or not. There's not an in between. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we say, the Bible says he'll spit you out. And I don't want to be spat out. I want to be chewed and swallowed. Yeah. And sitting in heaven with Jesus. In that time, I do want to talk about too, because a lot of times in our stories, we just talk about the good testimony part. Were there, could you feel darts that the enemy were throwing in that time too? Of like, how were you able to combat? I mean, because the enemy is so real still. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when the Holy Spirit is so present, mm-hmm, there's really not room for that.
Right.
Like, do you feel like you were in that season of waiting? Like you said, it came easy for you. Because yeah, typically you would think like, oh, well, that's going to bring in like anger or whatever. And like the enemy be like, see, you're right, really not good enough. You're really not worthy. Your heart's being broken again.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think like I didn't really notice that until probably when we got married and on.
Okay.
Is when, yeah, when the enemy really tried to
bring that back,
wreck our marriage in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like, we struggled. Our marriage was rough for the first few years.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But again, when I was freshly Christian, mm-hmm, accepted Christ, like, I was just all in. I was infatuated with him because before that, that's when the enemy was like, he ain't good enough for you. Mm. Like, you're not good enough for him. Don't worry about it. Here's all these other things that I want you to get into, right? And so it was a push-pull until I finally accepted him. Mm-hmm. There was no going back,
yeah,
right? The first year was really, I didn't sense that at all. Mm-hmm. I was just so filled with the Holy Spirit, so surrounded by my yeah community. It wasn't until, first of all, we got married in COVID, 2020, mm, June of 2020. And so there goes our community. See ya.
Yeah.
We're isolated. We're now engaged. We're getting married. And we were just like thrown for a loop. Because again, our whole process of dating, engagement, marriage was just surrounded by mentors, disciplers, our community that was just pouring into us. And yeah, when we got stripped from that, man, we were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard.
How did y'all deal with it?
we really didn't uh-huh for a bit. We didn't. And we were just so like thrown for a loop in the beginning of our marriage. Like everything changes immediately. And you go in with all these expectations and you think it's going to be lovey-dovey and, you know, butterflies and rainbows. Mm-hmm. And that was just not the case for us. And we, you know, you hear a lot of people are like, oh, the first year of marriage was the best honeymoon phase.
Uh-huh.
We ain't got no honeymoon yeah phase. We did not. We went straight into like, we've been married for like 10 years.
Oh my goodness.
Like, yeah. But honestly, like we've gotten so much closer because of that, because mm-hmm we went through the ringer so early on and we're growing up with each other. We got married at 19 and 20. So, I mean, there's growing pains there.
Mm-hmm.
Your frontal lobe is not fully developed.
I know. Until you're like 25, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just a lot of figuring each other out, growing together, and the enemy used that isolation for whatever he wanted with it and just planting these insecurities and questioning and doubts of like, should we have gotten married? And like, oh mm-hmm my gosh, it was rough. And we had no one checking us on that.
Yeah.
No one was like, no, no, no. Like God put you in each other's life for a reason. You guys got married under his will. Like you are honoring him because you did that. And no, we didn't have that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that reassurance. We only had each other, and each other was not,
yeah,
not doing well.
Right. I know. It's so funny, not funny, but how the enemy likes to bring us, make us feel isolated and mentally, mm-hmm, spiritually. And then physically, COVID, you're literally isolated.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's whenever he tries to work best and harder almost. Especially y'all had just gotten married and entered into this covenant with God. And it was so beautiful and like all this. And then it hits. And but also the Bible tells us that to go to an isolated place to pray sometimes, because it also like the Holy Spirit will meet you there.
Right.
So what ended up, like, what did y'all learn from that? And like, how did you come out of that? Or what did that isolated season physically do for y'all?
Well, we were lucky enough to actually split rent. We split rent on a house with our brother and sister-in-law, and being with them changed everything. Because we weren't fully alone. We weren't alone in our own thoughts. Like, yes, we got stripped from basically all of our community, but we did have them. And, you know, what we did and what was very helpful for us is we're very passionate people. Mm-hmm. And so when we get in arguments, it's so hard to see eye to eye. And we also have such different personalities.
Yeah.
So it's like, that can either be a really, really good thing, or when you're not in your best state of mind, like, it can be explosive. Like, it's a hot mess.
Uh-huh.
Our brother and sister-in-law, they would be like a mediator in our arguments. So instead of us arguing to each other, we would be arguing as like the argument is the third party.
Okay.
And they would help us through that. And so once we, you know, got married and had all of these new arguments and all of these new things happening, they really stepped in and was like our mediator to like level us out, mm-hmm. and give a new perspective and all those things. But it was really like, it took us, again, getting to a low point and seeing the desperation of our relationship with Christ and needing him to step in and be the center of our marriage. That is what's the pivotal moment for us, is getting to the point of desperation again, mm-hmm. where I cannot do this on myself, by myself. Right. I need to do this with him.
Well, I love that y'all didn't just end up being like, okay, well, I guess this means this wasn't meant to be and that we should get a divorce because, you know, it's not working out or whatever. Yeah. And did y'all have that? Was that ever brought up in that moment? Or were y'all more so like, no, we've got to fight because this is more than, it's a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Divorce was not an option for us. It still isn't. And it never will be.
Yeah.
And we knew that going in. And so we've always made it a rule to not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Have we, in our lowest moments ever in the beginning of our marriage, thought about it? Yeah, but was that God? No.
No.
Mm-hmm. That was the enemy taking it at our lowest. And what does the verse go where he's like a prowling lion, he seeks someone to devour. Mm-hmm. I may have butchered that.
Yeah.
But and he really just took advantage of our low point.
Yeah.
And again, we were not really doing anything to combat that. And it is a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of spiritual warfare going on. But that's exactly what the enemy wants.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that.
Yeah.
He loves that. And that's exactly what happened in the beginning of our marriage. It was just spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Big time.
Was there like a shift of it going from that to like good? Or was it just gradual? Like, if there's somebody listening, be like, oh, that sounds like my marriage right now. Like, I'm going through that. Mm-hmm. Like, what, just for encouragement, because obviously y'all are in such a good place now.
Mm-hmm.
How did that shift happen?
It was not a night and day. It wasn't. It was gradual. And there was, you know, you would go 3 steps forward and 4 steps back, like, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like, it was not just a linear kind of growth. It was, you would think that you were good for a few months and then, you know, you get into another argument and then it's like at the end of the world again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of that, but it was just persistence and understanding that we got married for a reason, to honor the Lord, and it is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
that we got married, and fighting for a successful marriage,
yeah.
not just hoping for a successful marriage. Like, you have to work at
you
it.
You do, because that's like, marriage isn't always rainbows and butterflies and the little feelings you get and all of that, and it is more of just like a choosing.
I was just going to say that, and that it was really a choice to love.
Yes.
And love is choosing your person every single day. It's not just a feeling.
Right.
And understanding more and more the character of love and what is love truly once we started. And it took time. It just takes, it took experience for us to understand what love really is and what that looks like in a practical sense for each other. And so, yeah, it was gradual.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love that. Thank you for sharing all that. And because I do feel like people get discouraged in marriage and thinking it's supposed to be one way and then it's not. And then if you do not have that relationship with God of what love truly is, like, it's so, I can see how easy it is to get it all twisted and be like, well, this must really not be my person because it's not working out or whatnot. And that's something that part of mine and Hunter's testimony is there was a period where we were not putting God first, and we wouldn't have said that out loud. Like, we didn't think we weren't, but we were prioritizing each other, and we caused a lot of disappointment. And he was never going to be able to fill the voids in my heart and my needs and fill my expectations with what only God could. And so it's just a lot of, like, a practice we do now, being married almost 6.5 years, is self-reflecting a ton and having those conversations to self and be like, God, help me reprioritize, because I can see something's off. Our priorities are off. I've been putting him first, I be first, whatever. And when God's not first, like, everything else does not work out. Like, it just is all over the place. And, like, knowing Hunter can never be my God has, like, 100% changed my outlook on our marriage, on our relationship, on other relationships in that way. And so, but that was, I mean, that took time and a lot of self-reflection to realize, like, oh, I was probably not, I was not putting God first. I'm, like, putting Hunter above him and all of that. Cause then you get, like, you have these expectations and then they're not met and you're like, you should know.
Right. You should know me. Yeah. And we, again, like, it, saying it's a, it was a gradual thing and there's setbacks and whatever. But when I became postpartum, that's where I really felt it. What you were just explaining about, like, they will not fully fulfill you, even though, like, that's your person. Like, you love them so much. You just want them so badly to understand. And they won't fully know you or fully understand you. Only God will.
Yes.
And, like, only God will fully fulfill you. And I felt that amplified so much when I was postpartum.
I want to talk about it. And that's, I mean, you're still fresh postpartum. 9 months, having a 9 month old is still so fresh.
Yeah.
So leading into that, just for viewers that don't, might not know you, how long were y'all married before you had Addie?
Before we had Addie, she was born like a week after our 3 year anniversary.
Okay.
Four, three.
I can't math a lot. Yeah. And so were y'all in a good place when y'all got pregnant? Like, were you mentally good and all of that? And so
the closest we've ever been.
Yeah. How, talk about, I just want to talk about that season. Like, what were your expectations going into motherhood? And then when you got to motherhood, I do want to talk about that, because I feel like that's so important to talk about and how expectations might not have been met.
Yeah. Going into motherhood, oh man, I was so excited. So excited. I've always imagined myself a mother. I've always wanted to be a mother to multiples. I love that idea. And that, like, is so aligned with my personality of just nurturing naturally. Like, I just, I was so excited. Yeah. And I was so excited to start a family with Cam. And, you know, you, the people talk about, you know, not having that, like, instant connection with their kid, and you just kind of disassociate after giving birth. And I was like, I don't think that'll be me. Like, I think I'm going to be, like, bawling my eyes out, like, so excited to meet my child. And that just was not the case. I had a really traumatic birth and labor and delivery. And by the time that I gave birth, I was super low in oxygen. I was passing out in between every contraction.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, in and out of consciousness, completely blacking out. And so by the time I gave birth, I was also, trigger warning, I was, like, throwing up between every contraction, too. I was so sick and just, like, not doing well. And when I finally met her, I just wished that I felt something. I felt nothing. I didn't really make note of it when it first happened. But looking back, I'm like, man, yeah, that was, I didn't have that instant connection. And that was heartbreaking. And it was just progressively getting worse. And I had problems breastfeeding. And I know so many people struggle with that. But I just, yeah, had a really hard time breastfeeding, was getting no sleep. She was super colic for the first few months. That made it difficult because then I'm like, oh my gosh, like I, you know, was expecting the newborn phase to just be like cuddles. Like, yeah, you're tired and breastfeeding is hard, but like they love you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel that. And I felt like I was failing as a mom because she was just crying. I didn't know why she was crying and it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop at all hours of the day, out of the night. And I was just like, I have failed. Mm. I have failed. I shouldn't be a mom because I don't know what I'm doing.
Aww.
And she is just clearly not happy, doesn't love me. And oh my
gosh.
That's
heartbreaking.
And
yeah.
Going through that during the baby blues, by the way.
Yeah.
Not it.
No, that gives me chills because it does bring me back. And yeah. And just like, I just want to hug you and like, that's so hard.
Because you also struggled with postpartum depression. Mm-hmm.
And that's like, it. You don't think it's going to happen to you. Like, you can be as prepared as you think. Like, oh, I hate that happens, but mm-hmm. I feel like I'll be good. And then when it happens, and then also just living in this world and the enemy, also feeding those expectations mm-hmm. to you and be like, yeah, see, you're not called out to be a mom. And you're already telling yourself that. And then you're believing even more lies from the enemy.
Yeah.
And so how was that for you? You said you felt like such a failure and all mm-hmm. of that. So it was almost, do you like an add up of things, like because you were thinking it wasn't going to be you. And so you had these great expectations. Obviously the expectations were not met. Mm-hmm. How did that affect you?
Yeah, I think like now the expectations are, I mean, you're never going to know what you mm-hmm. are going to get into being a first time mom, right? So like I went in with the expectation of it's going to be crazy, it's going to be wild, it's going to be a difficult thing to navigate no matter what.
Yeah.
But the one thing that was really hard to get over was the fact that like she was so colic and I was just like, I'm not bonding with my baby and she doesn't like me. Like what? And that threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to feel that and it lasted a long time. And you know, I also expected once the colic got over, because you hear like, oh, it'll get so much better. It'll get so much better. You're going to love your baby. You're going to have such a good bond with them as soon as you get over the colic hump, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't. And so again, the expectations kept feeding of like, why am I not bonding with my baby? Like, I'm struggling. I'm like, and oh my gosh, I was just like lashing out. I was so like hormonal and depressed mm-hmm. and angry. It just turned into like literal rage.
Postpartum rage is such a real thing.
It is. And I, again, was just like, what is wrong with me? Like, this is not like me. I'm not an angry person. And I was just lashing out, not at her, mm-hmm. thank goodness. But just like, I noticed it at Cam. Like, the littlest thing would just tick me off. And yeah. I would just like unload everything mm-hmm. and he didn't know what to do, poor mm-hmm. thing. And looking back on it, like, and that's what I was trying to say earlier about God fully fulfilling me. And Cam is not ever going to fully know me. And when I fully understood that and recognized that in the realm of postpartum, that's when things started to change
mm-hmm.
and I started to see things in a different light, because here I was like asking Cam, like, why don't you just like understand? And it's like, he's not meant to understand.
Mm.
Like, he's not. And I believe that like God created this in postpartum the way that it was supposed to be so that we go to him during this hardest
mm-hmm.
time. And that's actually what my sister-in-law explained, because she struggled with so much bad postpartum anxiety. And same thing, was just like, why do you not understand? Why don't you understand? And they're not supposed to. They're, you know, led to support you and love you through that, but they're never going to fully understand. And that's such a special thing. And when I started to see it as a special thing and not just a burden and disappointment, that's when I started to see like the goodness in it and that this is just my testimony, a part of my testimony, and God is still working in it, even though it didn't feel like it for the longest time. I was like, God, you literally deserted me. He didn't. He didn't. And he's now using it. Being on the other end, he's now using it. And he was there with me all along. Mm-hmm. And again, through his people and through Cam and just in the low moments at like 3 a.m. when Addie's just crying and crying and crying and I can't get her to stop, he was there with me.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't feel like he was. Mm. And in hindsight, I know he was, because he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You know, he was with me all along. It just took me recognizing it to like believe it, I guess.
That is such a good like revelation that he gave you during that time, and how it truly is a special thing that our husbands can't fill that role, mm-hmm. like, because it's meant for God to fulfill in our lives. And because if we got that satisfaction of fulfillment from our husbands, we wouldn't run to God for anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that is a tendency to always want to run to your husband. He's the fixer, but he's not.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That is so deep and special. And I know your story has already helped a lot of people and that are going through postpartum. And that is just, I'm excited to see the new season that you're walking through and all of that. And I know you have some exciting things coming up that we can't share on here yet, but I'm just like, I'm so proud of you for everything. And like just sharing your story, because I mean, it's your story to tell. And so thank you for sharing that. So you were diagnosed with postpartum depression. How long did that season last?
So I got an official diagnosis, I think I was like 4 or 5 months postpartum, mm-hmm. maybe. And then I was on treatment for a few months, and I've now been off of it for a few months.
And you
so
feel good.
Yeah. I feel like myself.
Yeah.
For once.
Amazing. So yeah. You feel better, and like how are you?
I am really thankful for it all. And I'm just very grateful and happy to be a mom. I'm finally feeling the fulfillment and feeling my purpose as a mother. And I'm so excited for the future and to raise her up in Christ. And I'm just like so grateful for her, mm-hmm. and everything that I've been through. And I'm now just really excited to be able to use it, to use my story for good, mm-hmm. and take what I've learned and hopefully help someone else.
Yeah. Well, in that, and as we're closing out, like if you could go back where you're sitting at now and how you feel, if you could go back and tell your freshly postpartum self when you were in the midst of all of that, mm-hmm. what would you want to tell yourself?
I would say to be gentle to yourself. Just like, you were built for this, you're made for this, you have a purpose in it, and to just be kind, because you're doing the best that you can. Like, your best is your best, and that's it. And just like, let God do the rest. Mm-hmm. Like, let him work with whatever you got, even if it's just a tiny bit. And to give yourself grace the way God gives you grace.
That's good. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here on the Salty Podcast, and I'm so glad you came and like shared all that. So thank you again just for sharing your testimony, and I'm just so proud of you, and I know that your story is going to reach so many people that it needs to reach. And yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
If y'all want to follow them on TikTok, they're KMML, Instagram KMML,
mm-hmm.
everything KMML.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have a personal Instagram.
Yeah, personal Instagram. What's that?
Mallory M. Reyes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And she has exciting things coming up, so stay tuned. And if y'all want to see what that's all about. So thank y'all for being here. We appreciate y'all so much, and we will see you next Monday. Bye.